This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the opening half hour today is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle Bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Normally in this segment, we have Matt Cotrillo. Obviously, they are doing a massive birthday party for him. Where he works on your dime, I might add, but So he'll join us at 2:35 today.
That explains my cable bill.
Oh, it's just okay. With all due respect. Birthdays are great, and I always love wishing somebody a happy birthday. You know, it's their own personal day. It's great, the whole thing. Right? But I've never understood. I really haven't. But maybe because I never have. Taking days off for your birthday. Now, if it's allowed, I got it. I mean, if it's part of your deal, okay. I got it.
I think it's kind of a family thing because, I mean, I'm kind of the same way with you. I could care less about my birthday. But, I mean, it's just there's people like that, and then there's people that expect a week-long celebration of themselves.
Well, the suit does a month.
Well. I would bet if his birthday was in February instead of July, it would not be a month-long celebration. I think the summer and the sunlight has something to do with that.
No offense. I mean, in his life, he's looking for any sunlight. Just kidding. But I've never... I mean, I spent my birthday this year. I spent in Philadelphia. I didn't mention it to anybody. Whatever. I did a game. Okay.
I'm going to make you sing at the end of July, but that's only because I'm going to make you sing.
Oh wait, I've got a text. He says it's a month of free stuff. Huh. Free stuff? Okay. We're going to get to sports here in a moment. What am I missing here? What free stuff?
I don't know.
I'm that's a serious question. I'm not fooling around here. Like, what free stuff? I mean...
I sometimes make sure to go to a certain restaurant out in Juniata County because you get a discount on your birthday for how old you are.
Okay.
I want the 100-year-old birthday. I want the 100% off.
Oh, okay. So if you're so you're 50 years old, you get 50% off?
Yep.
Wow. That's pretty good. Food from restaurants. Food from restaurants.
I'm sure you can get it Sunday somewhere.
Hold on. Here's the key. Right? It's a month of free stuff. Food from restaurants. It's not free, please. And free play at the casino. Oh. Just imagine they welcome him with open arms. Oh, good news. Our profit margin's about to go up. Goody, goody.
You talk about 3 to 5 year budgets. They have him worked in every July, don't they?
Oh, every July they have yes. All right, our profit margin in July is phenomenal. Right? By the way, Dick Girardi's going to join us on Friday. We have him penciled in that 105, 110 range. To talk about the Preakness. So we're going to do that. The TV part is starting to come out. You know, we always have these leaks, which are planned out by the NFL and the networks just to get people interested in the schedule. It looks like the Jets and the Niners are going to be playing in Santa Clara on week one on Monday Night Football. So that brings Aaron Rodgers back to the Bay Area, where he played high school ball, and of course he played for Cal.
Also made sure to get him on grass, so hopefully it lasts more than a week.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. And it was also announced that the Bills will play the Dolphins on Thursday night, September 12th, to open week two. That game will be on Amazon Prime. And I guess what the Eagles game with the Packers is on Peacock, right?
I believe so.
Aye.
NBCU just bought a game too, but I guess they're going to put it on TV. That's one of the Saturday games that's usually on NFL Network. It's the one that's going against the college football playoff. They made sure to get that on regular national TV.
Yeah, instead of Peacock. Yeah. I noticed that. You know, that's the game you put on Peacock. No. It's like, you got to be kidding me. So that's starting to leak out. Same thing with college football. Notre Dame and Texas A&M will be on... I mean, ABC has a bunch of these. ABC, ESPN. And remember, this is the year that the SEC goes exclusively to ESPN, ABC. So Notre Dame will play at Texas A&M. They announced the Week 0 and Week 1 matchups because they had to make a presentation to advertisers. The game will be Saturday night, the 31st. Mike Elko's first game as the head coach of Texas A&M. College game day will be in College Station that day. Other Saturday week one games are Clemson facing Georgia in Atlanta at noon, Florida against Miami at 3:30. Sunday, the game in Las Vegas at 7:30 Sunday night, September 1st on Labor Day weekend is USC and LSU. And let's see, College Game Day will make its first international trip. They'll have Florida State, Georgia Tech, and Dublin on the 24th of August. They also will have the MEAC SWAC Challenge, Florida A&M and Norfolk State. August 31st games include Alabama hosting Western Kentucky, Kalen DeBoer's debut, Texas and Oklahoma, of course, join in. The Sooners will host Temple on the 30th on a Friday, and the Longhorns get Colorado State on the 31st. They're also on the 29th going to carry North Dakota State and Colorado. Really? TCU and Stanford on the 30th, and Boston College at Florida State on Monday, September 2nd.
That's not one Colorado can take too lightly.
Colorado can't take anything too lightly.
I know, but that's that's the perfect team for somebody like that to take lightly.
Let me put it this way. They're really not that good.
No.
So that's a big problem. That's a huge problem. Now, Fox has made some announcements on their picks, which includes Alabama, Wisconsin, Michigan, Oregon, and Ohio State, Michigan. They made that announcement. So, there you go. And then we'll start finding out what Penn State might be.
I realize it's Notre Dame, but are you surprised Notre Dame's the primetime game and not Clemson, Georgia?
Better ratings?
Yeah.
Notre Dame will bring in a better rating in prime time than Clemson and Georgia will. The Clemson Georgia game was in prime time. Was it 2-3 years ago?
I believe.
Right, and it did well, but it's not going to do as well as Notre Dame being in that spot. That's a Notre Dame pick. That's not a Texas A&M pick. Ah. And see, this is where the Big Ten should have some fun and do something. Explain which weeks are going to be the 12-day weeks and things like that. But they should do it like the NFL does. You already have the NFL model. With the Big Ten, Fox, NBC, CBS. That's the NFL model. Well, then do a schedule announcement. Have some fun with it. Show some of the draft. Well, what they're doing, what games they're going to select. And do it as a one-hour TV show. Why not? Why the heck not? I think it'd be fun to watch.
I'm not even sure it would have to be live with the way they edit those things, and they do those things so well. You'd think they could jazz it up a little bit, and it would be a little jaunty hour show.
Sure, why not? You know, and explain, okay, in this particular week's going to be a 12-day window, da-da-da, you know. That's why we're not announcing for this particular week. Whatever. And then get it going. I mean, I know that the TV puzzle is always interesting. But as I tell everybody, I said the level of degree of difficulty, TV scheduling, Manhattan Project. Which one is the tougher one to do? TV people will tell you it's TV scheduling. Anybody with common sense knows it's probably the Manhattan.
But it's close, right?
it's about as close as Twice a Prince was to Secretariat in the Belmont Stakes. All right, so... All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. I want to add into when Bob called the show yesterday. Something I just want to add in about the stadium. We're going to do that in a moment. We continue, brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage. advantage.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Making it a month-long celebration is kind of milking it, isn't it?
I believe so, yes.
So Bob brought up yesterday the stadium renovation. And look, here's the bottom line that I think that I hope people can grasp. Your level of investment should meet your level of expectations. I mean, you put money in because of what you expect back from it. And that's what this is about. You are trying, okay? You are trying to show everybody, hey, look, this is what, you know, we have high expectations. So we're going to invest in it because we have high expectations. Low expectations bring it with it low investment. And we're seeing that play out, for example, in California with Cal Berkeley, which has low expectations. So they talk a big game, but they don't invest. They don't put money into what they're doing there. That's why they have to literally, in my opinion, legalize stealing with UCLA. Because look, they haven't invested in what they're doing there. They haven't put any money into it. Your financial commitment needs to match what your expectations are. And that's what this is doing with the stadium, right? And you know, I mean, and that's what it's about.
Well, regardless of anything, they had to do something to host college playoff games, didn't they?
Absolutely. No question. I mean, that's part of it. That's the winterization part of it. The winterization part of it, which is already being done now, is so they can competently and comfortably host a home playoff game, should there be one, December 20th and 21st. Right? But this is a long-term deal that you're doing here. And Penn State has long-term high expectations. When you have long-term high expectations, you need to invest to the level to match those expectations. Right? Okay? And that's what it's about. Okay? You can nickel and dime certain things along the way. And in the end, you're going to get a nickel and dime operation. And that's why when I look at, and this really has come to light for me watching this UCLA-Cal thing play out. They're talking about it today. Cal wants $10 million. Well, guess what? Find your own $10 million. I mean, find your own $10 million. What do you have to leech off of somebody else for? Well, because they were smart enough to do this? If Cal had kept investing in their program for years and years and years and had it at the level that Jeff Tedford had it at, for example, you know, when they had Aaron Rodgers and Marshawn Lynch and people like that, and the same thing in basketball, they may have been a prime candidate to go to the Big Ten. Great research school, AAU school, everything.
There was a long athletic thing on them about how badly they have run their athletic department.
Right. And it's just, I mean, you look at it, and I mean, to their credit, they invested a lot of money in their stadium, and there were overruns in that because they had to make it earthquake proof because they have to meet code. Okay, but that's the where it is. That's where it is. You have to. You just can't look at them for help. You have to do it yourself.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour of the show brought to you by NIL Game Changers. The ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. And we are in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. And from on3.com, Blue White Illustrated, let's bring in the outstanding Greg Pickle. Greg, welcome back. It's great to have you with us again.
Hey, Steve, good to be with you as always. Glad to hear you and hope everything's going well.
It's going very well. Thanks for asking. And let's get to Zane Rutherford because things are going well for him. He had to fight back to get his spot. Take us through that journey starting here and then how he had to go overseas to finally clinch it and get it done.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Steve. So Zane Rutherford, of course, as everyone listening knows, very accomplished Penn State wrestler, very accomplished on the international freestyle scene since his days of collegiate wrestling ended. And he does not typically wrestle at one of the Olympic weights. So he is usually at 70 kilograms, but the Olympics only have 6 weight classes. As, of course, we all know, college wrestling has 10, and the senior world teams have 10. But in the Olympics, you only have 6. So he had to drop down below where he usually is at. So that was the first challenge he had. And then, of course, he was not the reigning U.S. team member. It was Nick Lee, a former teammate, obviously the guy he beat in the finals of the U.S. team trials. But unlike some of his peers, Aaron Brooks, of course, being one of them, he was not already, the U.S. did not have the 65-kilogram weight class qualified for the Olympics. And the way that works, basically, is you can win any number of, you know, you just have to win one of them, basically, quote-unquote qualifying events in an Olympic year to get a weight qualified for the Olympics. Nick Lee did not do that prior to him losing to Zane Rutherford in the U.S. Olympic team trials. Zane then goes to the last chance qualifier. And really, when you looked at the bracket draw, I think there was no question that he was one of the favorites to finish in the top three and advance. But he had one heck of a road ahead of him, and he ended up having to do it the hard way. He went into the consolation bracket, and the only way you get pulled back into the third place match once you're in that consolation bracket is if the person who beat you ends up getting to the finals, and who Zane Rutherford lost to did make it to the finals, so that threw him back into a 4-match day to make it to the Olympics, and he was able to go out and win the necessary matches, all 4 in a row, in not a long period of time, only a few hours, and qualify for the Olympics. So quite the accomplishment. Of course, when he gets to the Olympics, there'll be a ton of very good wrestlers there. We'll have to do a little bit more digging to see kind of where he ranks among his peers there. It's a little early for that breakdown, but ultimately a heck of an effort and just another example of what these Penn State wrestling past and guys can do when given the opportunity to compete.
Was he close to retiring?
Well, he was getting ready to take a job, I believe, in New York City, somewhere in New York. So, yeah, he was, I think, probably really doubting whether or not he was even going to wrestle during this Olympic cycle. And sure enough, he decided to do it, and here we are. He's going to the Olympics. But, you know, certainly, you know, I think as recently as probably this winter, he was getting ready to just be finished with his competition career and move into the next phase of life. And for whatever reason, he decided to give it one more go. And I'm sure he and the Penn State wrestling community and, of course, the United States wrestling community are happy about that because it gives the U.S. one more wrestler with a chance to win gold in Paris this year.
Okay, one of the more comical social media pieces was from Carter Storace, about David Taylor taking the Oklahoma State job and about loyalty. I'm standing over there. I said, over here in the back, I said, was your head coach disloyal to Iowa State when he took the Penn State job? It's like, I'm just asking for a friend that was his alma mater. What was the reaction in the wrestling community to David Taylor taking the Oklahoma State job?
Yeah, it all came together so fast, Steve. Of course, David Taylor thought he was going to be heading to Paris and in the Olympics and ready to represent the United States again after he won gold at the Tokyo Games. And he made it to the finals, lost to Aaron Brooks. And, you know, when you listen to Chad Weiberg, the Oklahoma State athletic director, he claims they paused their search when the team trials were going on, which makes some sense if you want to take it at face value, because the wrestling world, and certainly anyone at a level of worthiness to coach at Oklahoma State, was connected to the team trials at some point. So it does make some sense that they would pause that search, but certainly it couldn't work out any better for him that David Taylor loses, decides to pick up Chad Weiberg's call, and within a fairly short period of time and relatively short order compared to how some of these coaching searches go, and especially as long as the Oklahoma State one went, after John Smith retired and many thought Coleman Scott was the coach waiting there, obviously not the case. So I think initially it was surprise, and then, you know, when you listen to David Taylor talk at his introductory news conference last week, and his level of participation on the senior level throughout the last year or so, maybe did indicate exactly what he said, that he was losing a little bit of his competitive fire and sort of that inner burning flame to continue to go out and compete. So I think he knew from the outset of this that either the Olympics were going to be his last competitive rodeo or the team trials were going to be. And as it turns out, Aaron Brooks made sure that the team trials were the last competitive matches David Taylor would wrestle. So he's ready to move into coaching. Certainly, I think, quite a surprise to a lot of people. I'm not really sure anyone could tell you with a straight face they had this on their radar up until some of the reports started coming out late last week, or I guess early last week before he was announced later in the week. But yeah, it was fast-moving. It was a surprise, and it'll be certainly interesting to see what he and Jimmy Kennedy, who was on staff at Penn State, is now joining Oklahoma State staff with David Taylor. Same with Nittany Lion Wrestling Club member Thomas Gilman, what they can accomplish out there. It's certainly not a bare cupboard that David Taylor and those guys walk into, and they still have time to possibly add through the portal. So we'll see. You know, short-term impact on Penn State, probably not all that great. Long-term, we'll just have to wait and see how it all shakes out.
So now that means that this is not like Casey Cunningham or Cody. I mean, they've been there from day one. Kennedy was the most recent add to the staff when the NCAA expanded. Any thought process on any direction Cale may want to go with that third spot?
Yeah, it's really interesting, because if you look at kind of what the potential candidate list might look like, you have a lot of Penn State products who are sort of in a similar situation to David Taylor, where do they want to keep competing at the freestyle level through another Olympic cycle? Do they want to maybe graduate to MMA, or, you know, Jason Nolf is doing the grappling series with Flow Wrestling, you know? So I think you have one list of potential names that would make sense, who just got to decide what they would want. You know, obviously, Kiel Sanderson and his staff would have to decide to hire some of these guys, but, you know, are they even at that stage where it's something they would consider? So I think that's your first pool. Highly successful former Penn State wrestlers that may be ready to move into the next phase of their life, just like David Taylor was. Obviously not as a head coach right away if they're doing it at Penn State. But and then you have some guys who have been in the coaching ranks before. I just mentioned Coleman Scott. That seems like a long shot at best for him to come to Penn State. But you never know. He is a PA guy. And is not staying with Oklahoma State moving forward. Vincenzo Joseph is an assistant coach at Stanford. Brady Berge is a volunteer coach at South Dakota State. Mm-hmm. Mark Hall is at the University of Pennsylvania. So, you know, you have some guys who have been in coaching at the college level before and are currently that I think is your other pool of candidates. So, you know, ultimately, it would be very interesting to see, because certainly, you know, Jimmy Kennedy, while an extremely valuable member of this staff, he did not carry an associate head coach title or an assistant head coach title, anything like that. So unless Penn State restructures things, or you know, they maybe tie in some NLWC stuff to it. You know, I think you're probably looking at more like a Jimmy Kennedy, a younger guy who maybe has been on a staff for a few years and hasn't necessarily graduated up the proverbial title totem pole. Totem pole, rather, if you will. So it'll be interesting. But certainly there will be no short list of people interested in this job. And you can rest easy knowing that Cale Sanderson will certainly find the right fit for his program moving forward.
Right. You've also done a really good job of tracking the EA Sports game, which is set for release, first week of July? Somewhere around there? That sound right?
Yeah, so definitely sometime this summer. EA Sports insinuated yesterday that May 16th, so what, 2 days from now, I believe that is. Yeah, Thursday. They were going to put out some more information, and it's already starting to pop up in the gaming console stores to get people ready for purchasing the game. So, yeah, I would expect by the end of this week, Steve, we're going to know probably the exact details about the cover. I don't know if they'll release who is... you know, who is opting in per team or not yet. If they'll put the full rosters out there, we'll have to wait and see. But, yeah, I would think by the end of this week we're going to know price, we're going to know actual release date, maybe some other information as well. And then, yeah, before we know it, that game will be out in everyone's hands this summer getting ready for the new college football season.
Are you a gamer?
Not really, but I'll probably make a return for this. And I think I'm certainly not alone in that. I think that it's just such an allure for so many people to play this game again. And just be part of the, you know, it's going to be, obviously it has been and will continue to be a major talking point in college football, in college sports. So, yeah, not exactly, not really, but I could certainly see a return from retirement for this game. And I think I'm probably not alone in that regard.
Well, they want 85-man rosters for this game, which means you have to opt in. You have to have 85 opting in. Arch Manning opted out. Do you know of any Penn State player that opted out at all?
No, so that question came up a good bit during the spring practice media availabilities, and some guys said they had not filled out the paperwork yet or submitted this thing. I'm sure it's not paperwork. I'm sure it's through an online portal somewhere. But, yes, right. They all had said they had planned to. They wanted to be a part of it. So, no, I haven't heard of any, and it would surprise me if any did. You know, I'm not sure the specific to the Arch Manning situation, but I think just across the sport, he's probably fairly alone in terms of deciding to not be a part of this game.
You know what? There's a part of me that understands it with him. I mean, I don't know him at all, but there's a part of me that understands it. You know, Quinn Ewers is there. He's trying to battle for time and so forth. And, like, you know darn well there are going to be people that are rooting for Texas that will buy the game and have him quarterbacking, and then there will be stories about, yeah, he threw for 500 yards in the game, and he probably doesn't need that right now, and as a Manning, he probably doesn't need the attention or the money.
Yeah, the free video game and $600 probably is not as inducing or enticing to him than it would be to some others. Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. But, yeah, it's an interesting decision. And like I said, certainly we could end up finding out that some guys from Penn State, I think we'll have to be careful with the reporting of that initially, because I think if there's some guys who aren't in the game, it might be easy to assume that they opted out when in reality they may have just never got the email, never pressed a button or missed a deadline or what have you. So, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But, yeah, from what I gather during spring practice, certainly I think the players are excited for it, and that's not just at Penn State, that's across college football. So many of these guys grew up playing a version of this game, and it's not been around for so long, or they played Madden and dreamed about being in that one day. So this is a chance to get in the video game now, and some of these guys, of course, won't ever make it to the point of being in Madden. So I think it's generating a lot of excitement and certainly something we'll be talking about over the next couple of months.
So when you get the game, Greg, will you then sit down and go number by number to see who's actually out there as an indication to you that they opted in and filled it out on time?
Are
you
you know what? I would say this, Steve. I would do it, but I have a pretty good suspicion someone's going to beat me to it. Like, someone's going to have that game downloaded at midnight whenever it first comes out. And by the time I get up, every roster will be posted somewhere on the internet. So, I would do that, and I'll certainly read those stories, but I get the suspicion that there's going to be plenty of people wanting to be among the first to share that info, so we'll have to wait and see. But, yeah, it will be interesting. And again, not just at Penn State, but other guys, big-name players across the sport elsewhere who have elected not to, just based on the number of people who the number of people who are already signed up, according to EA Sports, I would have to think the opt-out number is quite low. But, you know, like I said, we'll find out. Once these rosters come out, we'll find out for sure and be able to have a better picture of it from there.
Also, Michael Motti's coming back. Just your thoughts on him coming back to the staff here at Penn State.
Yeah, great news for him. Great news for Penn State. Was happy to see that for him and for the school. Obviously, Mike has a tremendous legacy at Penn State. Has been a part of with the collective, and he was down at Trinity High School, which of course Penn State is well connected to. So I thought it was great. Certainly, I think that no matter what kind of a role you would put him in at Penn State, be it a fundraising related one, be it a football related one, whatever it might be, you're always going to get people to pick up the phone when Mike Marty calls, and that would go for whatever walk of life he may interact with somebody in. He's just so well respected, so well regarded, obviously a good communicator and things like that. So no, it's a good move for Penn State, and certainly I think that again, when you're trying to find as many ways as you possibly can to connect with your fan base and connect with your alumni and get people supporting, whether it's NIL, whether it's any of the various other ways people can donate to the athletic department, the football program, the university, etc. And obviously, there's lots of avenues for that besides the NIL one we talk about so much. Anytime you get somebody recognizable and well-liked in one of those roles, things tend to go pretty well. So Penn State certainly finds that with Mike, and I'm sure that, there's going to be many success stories to share related to him and his new role at Penn State, and I'm sure they won't take too long to start filtering out there.
So what's the next big thing that you're working on story-wise, whether it's wrestling, football, or whatever it may be? Is there something you have on your it's May, so it's not the most paced time of the year. So is something you're thinking about working on right now?
Yeah, so right now is a good time to kind of reset some things. We'll reset the kind of wrestling outlook for the college teams throughout the month of May here, and then the U20 team trials for the chance to qualify for that level freestyle team in the U.S. is later this month. I think it's the 28th through the first weekend in June, and so you'll have a lot of current and future Penn State wrestlers there trying to make that team, which of course will compete at various events over the next few years. So that's the next sort of thing for wrestling in terms of events that actually will produce results that indicate, where guys are at in their off-season training, things like that. And then on the football front, yeah, as you well know, Steve, this is kind of a time for new arrivals to get here, four new guys. Just got here, Peter Gonzalez, Anthony Speca, Caleb Brewer, and going to miss one here. I want to say it's Malachi Williams. Let me see if I can pull that up while I talk. But you'll have the rest of the class of 2024 rolling into State College here over the next couple of weeks and months time. I guess the last one will be at the end of June. So that's something to keep an eye on. There's some Penn State players who are in the portal still looking for somewhere to play. So we'll probably get some game times as well. A lot of game times have started to filter out from ESPN, from Fox, none involving Penn State yet. But I would say in terms of straight news, that's probably the biggest thing we'll see over the next couple of weeks is just where some of these games will start and what networks they'll be on. So, yeah, you're right. Not an extremely busy time of the year, but there'll be enough news to get us through to June when the recruiting ramps up in a big way.
And then it'll kick into another gear. As always, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate the time, Greg.
Always a pleasure, Steve. See you soon. Have a good one.
Greg Pickle on 3.com, Blue White Illustrated. Neil Coulong next half hour. And then the therapy half hour. Ugh. I mean, it's his birthday today. So I guess we have to be nice to him, right?
Not necessarily.
Oh, perfect.
He's not turning 8.
Well, the guy in the corner office always thinks his birthday is turning 8. Jeez. No. I mean, like, he's doing the show with me one year. He wanted a pony. I'm like, what are you doing? Come on. What do you mean you want a pony? All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by NIL Game Changers.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn what they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. Rudy Big Shoe. It's interesting because Bob yesterday, and Bob had a great call yesterday, because Bob brought up, I thought, a lot of really important, salient points. Yeah, really great discussion items. And he said, he talked about transparency with athletics. And I tried to point out to Bob that it's pretty transparent. I mean, they put out, like, the numbers. And it's on gopsusports.com. You can find it on Penn State's sports website. Now, for example, how much athletic aid is there for men's and women's teams? Okay, the amount of aid for men's teams is $13.192 million. Well, women's teams is $10.195 million total. If they spend on aid, just $23.4 million, right? And then they get the game day expenses on here, men's teams, women's teams, all the way through. And that's, right? I mean, it's all right there pretty much up front. I mean, I don't know.
I was going to say the state schools have to have everything up front.
Yeah, they do. I mean, and now private schools like Northwestern, USC, Vanderbilt, Miami, Notre Dame, they don't have to put out their numbers. But even if you go to Equity in Athletics, the U.S. Department of Education website, you'll get all these numbers for every team. Every team.